So we're continuing in the message series, Good News. We're going through the Gospels, and I thought that was a great illustration because today's message is titled Fishermen. All right, and that's just the title I came up with. You can call it Fisherwomen, Fisherpersons, whatever you know you want to say at this point in time. And we'll be in, really, it's again, we're back to three passages. We're in Matthew chapter 4, Mark chapter 1, and Luke chapter 5. And what I've done is I put them together. I do have some copies. I was going to make copies for everyone. But when I was doing that, the printer then told me we were out of paper. And I couldn't find the other paper. So I've got a few copies. So I'm going to wait till after church. If you really were like, I want to know what he was reading, see me. We'll give you a copy. And if you really want one and didn't get one this morning, let me know. I'll have paper by tonight. But we're going to be there. And what has happened in the context of where we're at is that John the Baptist has now been arrested. All right, and Jesus has made his way into Galilee, and he's been preaching throughout the area. Matter of fact, at some point, Jesus has healed an official's son, and he's actually went to Nazareth and upset everybody in Nazareth so much that they tried to run him off a cliff and kill him. And then now he's actually kind of settled in Capernaum. And so this is where we pick up the story at. And in this passage, here's how the story goes. It says, so it was, as the multitude pressed around him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. All right, and so I'll just pause right here for anybody that's ever read these three Gospels together. Matthew and Mark have the Sea of Galilee. He was walking around it. Luke actually puts it at the lake of Gennesaret, and they're actually the same thing. All right, different words, and that was the way it kind of worked in those times. You have, just like we probably do here, what's the name of the stadium that the Gators play, football in? What's the actual name of the stadium? The Ben Hill Griffith Stadium. See, so, you know, you got local colloquialisms, and people know it by different things. So here you would say the Swamp because you're a true Gator fan. God bless you. But so it's the same thing. So as you read this in the scripture, don't freak out. Well, what it said is it here and the others are, it can't be the same. No, it's the exact same place. But it says, and then Jesus saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now see, people had been following Jesus around and listening. And he said, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word today. God, I pray that you just speak to us this morning through your word. Speak through me as your messenger. Jesus, your name we pray. Amen. So there's a lot going on here. We've got fishermen, and I love the fact that some of the first people that Jesus called are fishermen. I come from an adopted father who taught me the joy and the love of fishing. All right, this guy loved to fish in so much, and we've talked about it a little bit before, and so much so that I'm trying to write a book about life lessons I've learned while fishing with my father. And one of the things, if you ever, you didn't get to meet him, one day you will, one of the things knowing about me and my dad is that bad things happen to us when we get together. Most of our adventures are adventures. That poor guy that brought the line up and the fishing pole in the video and goes, I've got a problem here. I've been there. I've been holding that. And my dad said the same thing that the guy in the video. How in the world did you do that? You know, I've also been there with the guy with the rod stuck to the ground and waiting, and the rod just goes flying out in the water. Matter of fact, when I was a little kid, we used to go deep sea fishing, and my dad would tie the rod to the boat, but not me, in case we got a big fish. I always took that kind of as an insult, but I understood he thought I would probably let go of the rod before I went flying out of the boat. He didn't know me very well. But things have happened. We've lost stuff over the water. So I love the fact that Jesus is calling these fishermen. And several things that we're going to look at today, and I think that we can understand from this passage of Scripture, is that the first thing is Jesus meets people where they are, no matter what they are doing. Jesus meets people where they are, no matter what they're doing. And this is the Christ that we've come. Jesus doesn't go and just stay at the temple and say, come see me. He goes to where the people are. He calls us individually, you know, who we are and where we are. Now, fishermen was not a glamorous job. It's still not a glamorous job. Even though there's been TV shows, I mean, there's great shows on now about fishermen. You know, there's Wicked Tuna from up north, you know, up around the Boston, you know, up in the Maine area. You know, there's The Deadliest Catch, which takes place in the Bering Sea out in north of Alaska, out in the craziness. And I would never do that. These are crab guys, and they fish and all this other stuff. It's not a glamorous job. I mean, one of the things I always remember coming home from fishing is the fact, especially if I didn't go, you knew Dad went fishing. You knew it about the time the door opened because you went, whew. There's a certain odor to fishermen. It doesn't matter what you do. You play with the bait, you mess with the fish, you smell like a fish. You know, so these were not the cleanest guys, and especially back then. It was hot. They were sweaty. They worked hard. They worked with their hands. This was not a high-paying, you know, high-paying job at the time. And if you look, the other thing that Jesus did is he climbed into one of the boats. He climbed into their mess with Peter and Andrew. Because the fishing boat, especially the way they did it, wouldn't have been a clean thing. Now, see, a lot of us, when we think fishing, we think take the rod and reel out, right? You throw it out, you fish, you hook them, you reel it in. Most of us don't understand net fishing unless you've done commercial of some sort. But the way they fished back then is they'd put a net in, and you'd swing the net around, and they would slowly close the net. And as they close the net, you start pulling it up in the boat. Well, all the mess and all the fish that go in the net go into the bottom of your boat. There's fish there. There's other things that get caught up in the net. And Jesus met them right there where they were, right in the middle of what they were doing. And he climbed into the mess with them. He's not scared of that. The second thing I want us to understand is that listening to the guide will lead you where the catch is. Listening to the guide will lead you to where the catch is. Now, one of the things that, you know, growing up doing fishing, I can take you, and let's just change dramatically, to a couple of places in Jacksonville where we always, always caught fish. Y'all have them, don't you? Miss Betty, you got some places where you know you can go, you can take somebody. You want to catch a fish, come with me. I'll show you the spot right here. All right? And a good fisherman, somebody that knows the area, knows how to do this. If you ever chartered a boat, that's what you're paying for. You're not just paying for the boat. You can rent a boat and drive yourself around, but you don't know where the fish are, do you? You're paying for the charter captain, the guy that pilots the boat and takes you right to the spot, because it's no fun to pay money and go out and not catch anything, is it? But the guide knows where the fish are. He knows how to get you there. He knows the tricks and the tips to tell you what to do. And it's funny because Peter and these guys were fishermen. They know what to do. They've been doing it that way for so long. Yet Jesus came and goes, I want you to do something different. I want you to put out into the deep water. And I want you to fish here. And we read Peter go, Lord, we've been toiling all night and caught nothing, but you say so. We'll do it. If you've had children, you've probably had an argument with your kid that knows, swears they know everything more than you, right? Somebody said amen. But it's just, you, there's always, and I was that kid. All right, we've probably all been that kid. And sometimes the kid's right. They do know something, especially you start getting into technology nowadays. But there will be those times, and it doesn't matter what it is, you know, especially if it's something you said or did, you know, and you've been doing for years, the kid knows how to do it better. And you'll get into an argument with him. And I can see Peter going kind of the same attitude. All right, well, I know what I'm doing, but if you tell me to, I guess I'll do it. Kind of having that attitude. And I think we do the same things. We do the same thing with God. God's trying to lead a certain way. God puts people here to kind of direct us and guide us and to take us to a point, and we go, well, yeah, but we've been doing it this way the whole time. But I think the key point about what takes place in this transaction is the fact that it says we've been laboring all night and have caught nothing. How many of us labor so much and have caught nothing? And then Jesus comes in, and maybe he has a different approach for us. Maybe he has a different task. Maybe he has a different way for us to do this. Now, it sounds ridiculous. To a trained fisherman, what Jesus told them to do would be not smart. We've talked about the ditch fishing before. We had one of those in Jacksonville off of Racetrack Road. It was a ditch, and one of the biggest bass we've ever caught was in a ditch on the side of the road. And the reason being is what we didn't know is that way the ditch ran, it actually connected with a creek, which connected with a bigger body of water. And when the high water had come, the fish had wandered up in there chasing something and wound up in the ditch. And then all he did had free roam to eat whatever was there, as long as there was water. Now, you do not expect to pull off the side of the road, drop a line into a ditch, and catch something, do you? It'd be like going in your backyard and go ahead, throw a line in the swimming pool, see what you get. Now, some of us have had those pools that didn't get cleaned, and they've, you know, looks like you could catch something out of them. I've been there. We debated stocking our pool with fish when I was a kid one time. But what Jesus told him to do didn't make sense. You don't do that. You don't fish there, especially at that time of day. It's not right. It's just not what you're going to do. But Jesus said, do it, and they did it. Now, one thing we can learn here, too, is the number three, that a net will catch more than a single line in the water. Can you catch fish with a single line? Can a single person reach people? Yeah. Yeah, can a single way of doing something catch somebody? Sure. But it's a lot more work, isn't it? You don't multiply as quickly that way either. One of the best ways to catch them is with a net. Now, like I said before, sometimes when you throw a net, it gets a little scary, doesn't it? Because you don't know what's going to be caught up in that net. Church is a lot of the same way. That's why from year after year, from time to time, the church develops a new way to share the gospel. We've gone from Romans Road, Evangelism Explosion, Faith. Now they're drawing circles or something. I don't know. We've Amway's invaded. I don't know. But, you know, there's these new things, and, you know, and every time it comes out, there's new ways to connect people with the gospel. There's different ways. Why are there so many different churches? Because there's so many different people that want and desire things a different way. It's part of that larger net. And if you think about it, if you think about us as a body of believers, if the church really functioned as a church, think about what we could do in this community. If you took every Christian church, and I mean Bible-believing Christian church, heck, even if you just took the Baptist, and we all worked together to start closing that net in around the city of Gainesville, don't you think we could catch some people with Jesus? A net catches way more. So what does that mean for us? Well, one, it takes all of us working together. You saw in that video how what happened is there was only really one or two people fishing. Everybody else started dropping their pole. Were they going to go home with fish that day? No. And I can remember that from my dad sitting in the boat. I was a little kid, and I was ADD, and there was only so long I was going to sit and watch a bobber float up and down in the water. It was about 2 minutes. And then I started looking at birds playing in the water. I mean, just everything else. But Dad had all the lines baited up and hooked up, and the next thing I'd look back, and Dad looked like a spider. Because he must have had 6-8 poles stuck out around him, sitting one under each leg, everywhere else, holding a couple. God help him if a school of fish came by and they all hit at one time. He didn't know what to do. That's when I became net boy. That was my job as a little kid. Dad would start hooking the fish. Get the net, son. But if we all work together, we're going to catch a lot more. If we look at multiple ways of reaching out, if we throw a wide cast, and it's important we talk about it, and churches talk so much about we have to attract young people, and that's true, we do, but we don't just want to attract young people. We want to attract everybody from birth to death. Almost, not quite dead. All right? We want to get every age group in there. So we've got to do stuff. Does the stuff that interests a 15-year-old interest somebody who's 75 or 80? Not usually. There's stuff that people want to go do that I'm not interested in. There's stuff I used to do that I was interested in that I don't want to do anymore. We're talking about Disney World. You know, and I can remember as a kid, I didn't mind getting up early, riding down there, spending all day, closing the park down and riding back and getting almost 24 hours. And the heat and Florida and everything, you didn't mind it when you were little. Now I'm going, I don't know if I want to do that. We'll go, but can we sit around and watch people? I'm becoming old. Dirt. But we have to do multiple things sometimes to attract more people. And it's one of the things, if you've ever watched like fishing shows, and these guys have tackle boxes. My dad has a wheelbarrow full of tackle boxes. Why? Because you never know what's going to work. One day, the certain bait is the thing that the fish are hitting on. Certain baits go after certain fish. Other fish like a different type of bait. You have to use something different. Sometimes you got to use live bait. Sometimes you got to use artificial bait. You have to have shiny stuff, dark stuff. It depends on the water. It depends. I mean, so there's so much that goes into nowadays what fishing is. And the same is true with reaching this world sometimes, and it's hard for us. That's why it takes all of us. Number four. When God moves, the catch is huge. When God is doing something, God multiplies the catch like we can't imagine. They went from nothing to having so much that they almost sunk their boats. They had to call in reinforcements to help them land the catch. And when it gets that big, when the harvest starts coming in, when the catch starts being brought in, it takes all of us to jump in and help pull. Just like I was telling you with my dad in the boat, I became net boy. Dad could do one or two things and could get this, but Dad couldn't hold and reel his fish and dip the net at the same time. Dad, some of these bigger fish, you have to have somebody else with you. It requires all of us to get involved to pull in the large catch. And the scary part, the dangerous part is if we don't get help, it can sink us. If we ever wonder sometimes where we pray and we're just begging God, just, you know, make it happen. Just, you know, bring the people. Just explode this place with the number of people. That would be awesome, would it not? But what would happen if next Sunday four new families showed up with 15 children? What would we do? We'd figure out something, but we'd be in a panic, wouldn't we? We'd be in an excited panic. Yeah. Oh, no, we'd be excited. But there would be some logistical issues with it. All right, who's watching the kids? You got the kids? I got the kids. All right. We leave them in here. Who are we going to take someone back there? What are we going to do? Are we going to cut off? You know, there would be questions we'd have. You know what? And we as a church, we're never going to hit every scenario. But I think God, I know God is a sovereign God. And I believe as we begin to grow, God begins to put the pieces into place. You know, I think about a puzzle, at least I think about the way we do a puzzle, is normally at our house, we start with the outside, the square edges. As many of the square pieces you can find. Why? Because you know where they go most of the time, right? Still takes a little bit to get them in, but once you get them in there, then you can start filling in the middle. And then generally what happens is you take whatever the biggest piece of the picture is that you can identify on the pieces, and you start putting that together. You know, and I firmly believe this is kind of where we're at in Hague right now. We're starting to put the pieces of the outside of the puzzle together, and I think we're getting close to completing the outside of the puzzle. And I believe before much longer, God is going to start putting the center together. And we're going to start seeing people coming in. And it's going to take all of us to get involved. And it's going to, if we don't help, it's going to sink us. Number five, Jesus calls us personally and for a purpose. Do you know Jesus chose you? Jesus chose you specifically. I believe when Jesus came, he didn't just come with the idea of, well, there's human people here, I'm going to save them. I think Jesus probably had a list of names on his heart that when he went to that cross, because he's God, he's repeating every name. I got Lee, I got Jennifer, I got Rush, I got Thomas, I got Will, I got Donald, I got Emily, I got... And just starts naming names. And I don't mean to skip over anybody. I just didn't want to name everybody in the room. But God came and chose each and every one of us. But he did so, and he did it for a purpose. And I love that God has that mentality as well, that he puts these pieces in place, that each of us has a goal and a purpose. And at minimum, every believer has the purpose of reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. At minimum, says, come and I will make you fishers of men. We talked about it before. One of the things is that even on a life on purpose, we have to guard against. As many times as I've been fishing, I've come home more times than not with an empty boat. Guess why it's called fishing, not catching? There's been those contemplations of stopping by and buying the fish from the store so we can have something for dinner. Because we caught nothing. And that's going to happen with us as well as we share the gospel. Are you going to miss sometimes? Yes, there are going to be times that we don't catch. And this is where the Bible switches analogies from the fishing idea to the gardening idea of planting and cultivating, which we'll talk about later. Because there are things that we will do. There are things that even in our process of fishing that we help cultivate now. But Jesus has brought each one of you here personally and for a purpose. Here. And finally, following Jesus reprioritizes our lives. Every one of them that came in contact with Jesus, every one of these apostles said, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm following you. Now, Jesus doesn't necessarily come to us today and say, all right, quit your job. Go be a missionary. And if you notice, I mean, there's a lot of people that follow Jesus, but 12, he specifically said, follow me. So there are those that are specifically called to drop what they're doing and spend the life of following and serving Christ in a more professional way, is the best way to explain it. But we are all followers, and we all, when we come to Jesus Christ, every one of us should look at our life, and our life should be reprioritized by His presence. They left their jobs, their family, everything they knew to follow Jesus. And again, this is not a call for Christians to come in and just abandon all those that they know. You don't abandon your loved ones, even if they don't follow Jesus. Because if you walk away from them, how are you going to witness to them? I think it's interesting that as the passages end, one of the things it says is they left Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. The gospel writer was very clear to know, let us know that the father of these men was not left holding the bag, holding the company business without help. He had help to help him. And I think when God moves, when God calls, when God does these things, God has already put pieces in place to help everyone. God already has a support structure around you when He calls you. It doesn't mean it's easy. But the challenge for us is, all right, God, what do we need to reprioritize? Is there anything that we need to reprioritize? Is it our job? Is it our hobbies? Is it our quiet time? Is it our language? Is it our finances? Our resources? What is it you want me to reprioritize, God? Jesus has come, and He's called us to go fishing. He's called us to be fishermen, fisherwomen, fisher people of other people. That's our goal, that's our target, is to reach others with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. There's that old bumper sticker or t-shirt or whatever, you know, that says, my job is to help catch them. It's God's job to clean them. And that's true. And I think God calls and God equips. And you almost hate to use the analogy of dangling bait in front of people because that sounds like a trap. But we're not dangling a trap. See, the difference between fishing for humans and fishing for fish, you snatch a fish out of the water, it's dead. Right? Eventually, leave it on the bank, see how long it lasts. But you snatch a person through the Holy Spirit and the help of Jesus Christ, if you snatch them out of the life they're in, the sinful nature that they're living in, it's life. Thomas is going to come here and we're going to sing our invitation song for the afternoon or for the morning. What are we singing, Thomas? Jesus, I love thee. But think about it. Think about it as we go. Who are we fishing for? What's the bait we're using? Some of us may need to change up our bait. One of the things I always remember is that for a while you leave the live minnow, it kind of bobs around and moves and does things under the water to attract the fish, but after a while, if you've not caught anything, it'll stop moving. It dies because it's been taken out and you've run a hook through it. You know, sometimes we as Christians get to that point as well. We just get tired and complacent. Sometimes our faith just dies a little. And Jesus is calling us to something more. Maybe we need to freshen our bait a little bit. If you would please stand. Where are you fishing today? And is there something God wants you to reprioritize? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for each one that is here this morning. And God, just lead us through your Holy Spirit. If there is anyone here that needs to accept you as their Lord and Savior, God, I just pray that you move this morning and bring them forward. And God, if there's anyone here that's looking to join the church, God, we welcome them with open arms as well. It doesn't matter who they are. We're a bunch of mess-ups looking for mess-ups to join us in the path. Just jump in the boat with us. God, if there's anyone that you're calling to follow you in obedience, whether it's baptism, whether it's in the ministry of some sort, or to lead a class or to do whatever, God, we just pray that you speak to them this morning. And Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you came, that you taught these men how to fish for other men and women, and that by their testimony, God, we could stand here today and praise you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your cross and your shed blood. It's in your name we pray. Amen.